What's up, everybody? Brian and Mario back again for another episode of the QB List podcast. It's week 12. We've got start sit questions ready to be answered. This is part two of our series this week. Mario, how are we doing? Pumped with energy, I see.
Oh my gosh, Brian, we're doing well. I got some great news about this first game that I can't even wait to hold back. But Mike Evans got a full practice. Oh, it has been a few days since we've seen Mr. Evans, and I'm just excited for. I want him to get that 1,000-yard mark. What is he at? Like 100 straight. So I'm just excited for that to happen. Granted, I have him on so little of my many teams, but this is just for, you know, some things are bigger than sports.
Hey, I could have swore I saw a video of Baker Mayfield. He was skipping as he went to the facility today. This guy's excited to have his boy back. Yeah, Mike Evans is at 335 yards at this point in the season. Ooh, he's got some making up to do. He's got his touchdowns, though. He's always rocking high on the touchdowns. But yes, if you missed the first six games, we covered that in yesterday's episode. We're back to have you again for this one, and we've got seven games to get into. So you ready to get started?
Let's get started. Lucky number seven.
Sweet. We got the 4-6 Bucks going to the Giants, who are 2-8. It's a 41-point over under. Tampa's a 5.5-point favorite. And the Giants, they're playing for next year. They're going for that top pick. They said, I know we paid you, Drew Lock, but take a seat. Tommy DeVito, grandson of famous actor Danny DeVito, unchecked fact on that one. But yes, Tommy DeVito's up there starting at quarterback. So let's, as we do, start with the quarterbacks. Let's talk about Baker.
Baker, even with the bye, he's quarterback five. Fire him up like the cannons they have in Tampa.
100% QB1.
Yeah, easily. Other side, Tampa allows the most points to quarterback. We love to see that. So Tommy Cutlets in his debut could not ask for a better matchup. And I did some deep diving because he did play a few games last year. And he started pretty good. Like, he won three straight games last year. He won at Washington, bad team, but still. Home versus New England, home versus Green Bay. Green Bay was a good team last year. So, like, absolutely credit to him. But I did how did he do in those games? Probably well, right? He was quarterback seven against Washington. Quarterback 25 against New England, quarterback 16 against Green Bay. So, I mean, I don't have the stones. I don't have the, I'm not going to use any kind of derogatory Italian thing here for my own heritage's sake, but I do not trust Tommy DeVito in this matchup.
Yeah, it's a rough one. I understand playing him in a super flex league. I do see a little bit of upside because of the matchup against Tampa Bay, but in all accounts, we're staying away from it. Baker's the only interest I have in the quarterback.
Agreed. And it's like, I will say there is quite a few like buys this week, and we'll get to the quarterbacks that we like for the buys filling. Like, just a reminder, it's like Josh Allen's the big one, Joe Burrow, Kirk Cousins, you know, like startable Aaron Rodgers, but like, I'm hoping I'm not in a league where Tommy DeVito is my option for a quarterback, for a one quarterback league.
No kidding. You come down to running back. Tyrone Tracy seems to be taking over this backfield altogether. He's looked great in the couple of games that he has taken over, 18, 16, and 20 carries in the previous three games. I have just a tiny, tiny inkling. Oh, I'm a little nervous just on the fact that he lost the game for them in Carolina, you know, the game against Carolina, you know, when they were playing internationally. That fumble there at the end of the game completely cost him the game. I hope there's not good at, like, Dable's not the kind of guy to, hey, we're gonna play Singletary for the first half to show you that you did wrong. I hope that's not an issue, because outside of that, this is a great matchup for him. And I see Tyrone Tracy absolutely thriving here.
Absolutely. He's probably the giant player I trust the most. Tampa allows the seventh most points to running backs. Between weeks 5 and 10, Tracy is running back 10 on the season. And if we bump that up one more week there, obviously we're on bye week 11, including the bye week, he's running back 17. So it's a great matchup. With the bad quarterback, I expect them to abuse the run game. And you mentioned about, like, I don't think Dable's going to be a bitter kind of guy. I think it's like, hey, trust. I think by showing, like, giving him the full workload, they're going to show he's the confidence, right? Because it's like, if you're looking at the rebuild, Tracy's going to be there next year. Neighbors is going to be there next year, who we'll get to. But
and Tommy Dable needs, And Dable needs to prove that he needs to be there next year. And I think that would be making smart coaching decisions by playing Tracy. On the other side, you've got Rashad White and Bucky Irving. I do like playing both of these. Just the Giants. They got a pretty good front seven. I'm not going to lie there. But these two, they split it up so much that I feel like you just kind of have to put them both out there as at least running back threes with upside.
Yeah, I even have them as running back twos, honestly. I have White slightly higher, and they're ranked right next to each other. Running back 26 is White. Bucky is 27. And just on this deep dive, I had to remember that Sean Tucker dropped 32 points in week six. He's running back 43. He has 43 points on the season, and he's had 32 that one week. So both of them running back twos for me. White a little bit higher, and that's mostly because White has missed a game, and he's still ahead. And the points per game, he's about 1.5 higher, 11.8 versus 10.3. So, but both very startable for me.
I've actually got Bucky as the one. I've got Bucky just a little bit higher than White, but again, this is okay. I'm playing both these players. When it comes to the wide receivers, Mike Evans is the easy play on the Tampa Bay side, but do Shepard or McMillan, either of them tickle your fancy?
McMillan a little bit. Evans, you know, we led the show with it just because, like I said, I'm so excited for him. He should be like, he was wide receiver 14, Evans, from weeks 1 to 7. No Godwin there. So I think he's going to absolutely feast. As for the other two, it would be McMillan, but I got to be hit bad by bye weeks to really consider it. I think maybe it's a 14 manner, you know, three wide receivers, but my expectations are very low for the other pass catchers.
100%. McMillan is a rookie, so I'm still kind of willing to go back in the flames there a little bit with it. As far as the defense for the Giants, they run cover 3 31% of the time and cover 1, so man, they run man 30% of the time. So McMillan actually has a 21% success rate against cover 3 and then a 25% success rate against cover 1. So and then Evans actually has a 38% against man. So I think McMillan does have the opportunity to get open against this team. So if you are looking for a dart throw somewhere to go out there, maybe something that's out on the waiver wire, I don't mind the speculative play of McMillan this week.
I like it.
Kate Otten. Side. Oh, yeah. I guess let's go to those other receivers.
Yeah. Hold on. Other wide receivers. So Tampa allows the fifth most points to wide receiver. And if we're being honest, we never played Malik Nabers because of the quarterback. But how much of a difference is DeVito to Dimes? And honestly, I think there is a big difference. I think Nabers is going to take a hit, but he's still wide receiver 10 in points per game. So I think you still start him. I think you have to have a really deep team to not start him, but I would just embrace that he could give you a single digit day, and that's just going to be what it is with Tommy DeVito there.
Yeah, Neighbors, you still have to put him out there. Wandale and Darius Slayton is where things get a little interesting. Again, we're going to dig a little deep here this week just because we do have these issues in the byes. I'm okay putting them out there. Again, if you believe in the matchup, if you believe DeVito can get you a little something-something, I think if you were hoping for a splash play, I think it might be Slayton. If you're looking for in a PPR league, hey, give me like 6, 7, 8 points. Just a bottom floor, I think that could be Wandale.
But is this again, what 5 weeks do to you? Because I was on the Wandale train, and you're like, I ain't touching that. And now look at us.
I know. I'm stating the case for him. I don't want to play either one. I will say I might be sprinkling a little longest reception on Darius Slayton this week, but I think that's as far as I go there. Tight ends, Daniel Bellinger, Johnson, Theo Johnson, the rookie for the Giants. We're not going there, but Kate Otten plays in the Chris Godwin role. So even with Mike Evans back, I still believe Kate Otten's still going to feast.
Agreed. I have him taking a little bit of a hit just because when you go from the only guy with reliable hands to one of two, obviously, but like you said, he's definitely still going to get his.
Who wins?
What was the line? I missed it.
We got 5.5 by Tampa.
I think Tampa blows them out. I think Tampa covers.
Yeah, Tampa's been talked about as a good streaming defense this week. When you've got players like DeVito, he takes sacks. I think he was averaging 5 a game, 6 a game last year. So that gives you opportunities for fumbles, for interceptions, for touchdowns. So, give me the Bucks.
Love it.
3-7 Cowboys are going to Commanders 7-4 up in it's a 45-point over under. Washington's favored by 10.5.
Stop that.
Oh, it's bad. It's a Dan Quinn revenge game, if you will. You know, DC for the Cowboys for quite a while.
Okay. Got promotion.
Came over to the Commanders, hanging out with Cliff.
About the revenge game.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels went from easy offensive rookie of the year to now we're having a discussion between him and Bo Nix. He has not looked great. He hasn't had a rushing touchdown since week 4. He's given us QB 11, 11, 11, and 12 in that time, but also a couple 24 and 30 finishes. The 30 obviously was the game he got knocked out with the injury. He's banged up. We get that, but I got a feeling. I've got an anytime touchdown feeling. I feel like we break this rushing touchdown drought here against Dallas, one of the worst rushing defenses in the league.
I don't hate that. They do allow the third most to running backs. They allow the eighth most to quarterbacks. And I have the same stats you had in different words. I'm going to now say them in my own words. So Jaden Daniels has 2 single-digit games this season. They both came in the last 5 games. I saw this on Twitter. Dave Kluge, shout out him, pointed out that Jaden Daniels was a top 5 quarterback in 3 of the first 4 games. And this is the part you already mentioned. In his last 7, he has no top 10 finishes. He's close a couple of them, but no top 10 finishes. This is a good matchup. First divisional matchup, like you said, the Dan Quinn revenge game. So I think the confidence is back. But I will say, if he doesn't do it here, oh my gosh. Bo Nix is the offensive rookie of the year. It's over.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels needs to kind of put on a little bit of a show for us here over these last few weeks. He's still fighting. They're 7-4. They're 2 games behind the Eagles. So them getting to take the division is going to be rough. They play Philly 1 more time. So they need to win that one, and Philly needs to drop another. So there's a chance. If he can win the division, I think he can win it, because Bo Nix has no shot. Virtually no shot at winning the division with the Chiefs.
No shot. There. We can say no shot at winning.
I'll leave a little glimmer of hope for those Denver fans. I will not.
Denver listeners, thank you. And I say a lot of nice things about Bo Nix, but you're not winning that division.
So Daniels is a start. He's a top 5 play for me this week. Cooper Rush, though, you're rushing to another quarterback. You're not playing that kid.
That's good.
The running backs, though, sort of Washington, because it's so much easier. Austin Eckler has had just an unreal efficient year this year. His rushing efficiencies, he's top of the team when it comes down to that. I don't mind him as a flex play this week, just playing against Cowboys, like you said, the 7th most points given up to running backs Cowboys already. And then B-Rob, come on, man. He's back. Got rolling. We got the touchdown last week.
Yeah, he looked great last week. So Brian Robinson is running back 24 on the season. Eckler is 25, so they're both pretty good guys. And Brian Robinson has missed 3 games. So he's still, the fact that he's that high, missing the games. I expect both of them to get volume. I like Eckler more in PPR, just because that seems like where all of his value is coming, is he's the one getting 9 targets a game. It's absolutely unreal numbers. But both of these guys are startable. I have Brian Robinson a little bit higher in everything but full PPR. Great matchup for them as well. Other side's a bummer. A lot of the Cowboys are bummers this week.
If we kind of want to wrap up the whole Cowboys side, I want to play CD. So CD Lamb sat out practice Wednesday and Thursday. If he plays, I'm willing to play him, and that's it. I don't want to play the Dowdle game. If you absolutely have to play Dowdle, I get it. There's not really much options as far as picking up running backs off the waiver wire. So I get it if you have to put him in there, but I'm lambing out.
Yeah, and I have a little bit more deeper stats on both these guys. So Washington has the 10th most to running back, so some upside there. And this is just going to be my proving that fantasy football makes no sense stat, is that back in week 5, Rico Dowdle finished as running back 3 in a matchup of Dallas at Pittsburgh, where he scored 18.4 points. An absolutely brutal matchup. Did his far and away best game. Since then, week 6 through 11, he's running back 34. So if he, I could see it, I'm not going to deny it, but I so agree. I'm avoiding him. And Lamb, even Lamb last week was wide receiver 20. So not a terrible day. He had finished with just under 15 points. But this is a matchup that he's familiar with, right? Divisional matchup. I love looking into the stats here. He's played Washington 8 times and he's never had 100 plus receiving yards against them. And we're talking like Dak is throwing him the ball in those games. This one, he doesn't even have Dak. He averages just 56 yards a game and half a touchdown. So even this, like I still start him. I think you have to start him by weeks plus like how deep is your team? You're not starting him. But my expectations are that of, like I said, 50 yards and maybe a touchdown.
All right. Well, let's play that game then. Where's the line? Are you playing CD Lamb or let's go Mike Evans coming off the injury.
Mike Evans, fresh off the game. You know, he's getting 80 yards.
CD Lamb or Malik Neighbors. And that Tampa battle.
I think CD Lamb, but I'm very curious about Neighbors because his a lot of Neighbors' value was the fact he's getting 12 targets a game, and I think that'll continue.
CD Lamb or Cortland Sutton against Las Vegas?
I think Cortland Sutton. Cortland Sutton's been a very surprising story this season.
CD Lamb or Ladd McConkey against Baltimore?
Ladd was the one I had in my mind where I was like, if he doesn't say Ladd is the trickiest one, and I think it'd be Ladd over... I think it'd be Lamb, but I don't know. I would, but the fact that it's like a conversation, like Ladd went undrafted in so many leagues, or, you know, a 15-rounder for the fun name.
I'd play Juwan Jennings over him. I'd play Marvin Harrison over him. I think once we get to like the Debo Devonta Smith range, that's when it's iffy.
Yeah, I would play Lamb over Debo just because Debo's been a bum recently.
Yeah, that's a tough one. As far as the
yards a game, 50 yards a game, and that's again like not with the backups throwing to him.
That might be a fun one. I might take an under on just depending on what that line comes out at. Yeah. On the other side, Terry McLaurin, I'm willing to play. Zach Ertz, I'm willing to play. And I'm pulling out of this game. We saw Houston go up against Dallas this past week, and they didn't need much. Outside of the defensive touchdown and then Mixon crushing it, they don't need a whole lot. Terry McLaurin has been spotty, at least as far as, like, I know some of his games, like, you know, he had the two-catch game where he got two touchdowns on it, but last week only one catch, so... You know, three of the last 4 weeks haven't been great as far as the volume catch-wise. So, tempered expectations again. You know, we saw, 60 yards from Collins last week?
Yeah, I'm kind of agreeing with that. We're tempered expectations just because I don't expect them to need much. But part of it is, in a divisional game, I think it's going to matter more to these teams. I think Dan Quinn's going to get the guys to get up. So, I am a little bit higher than on Terry. He had the dud of a game last week, but the Eagles secondary is proving to just be pretty elite. We'll get to them more when we get to their game, but I'm expecting double digits from Terry this week. So I still have him as a wide receiver one. I think it's going to be a really good bounce back game. Like I said, so I think that this matchup matters to the people in the locker room.
Nice. Who wins it? Or I'm sorry. Does Washington win by 10.5? Do they get the 10.5
points? That's the question. Oh, I think so. I really do. I could see it. It's a backdoor cover where, you know, Brandon Aubrey just because in the closing seconds, but I think Washington clears it.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think they handle Division the Cowboys matters. Pretty well.
You just get up for him, I think.
Just like you'll be getting up for this one, it's the Broncos that are 6-5 going to Vegas. 2-8 Raiders. It's a 41-point over under. Denver is favored by 6 in this game. This is it's another one-sided game here. Bo Nix, we've kind of already given him his flowers, so I'm going to pull the bouquet back a little bit. I'm playing him and Gardner Minshew. He's riding the pine, baby.
Yeah, Gardner Minshew, my notes are, yikes, Denver allows the fourth fewest points to quarterback, so that doesn't help his case. On the other side, Vegas allows the ninth most points. So Bo Nix coming off his second-best game of the season. I don't think he's going to ever surpass those games because both of those games came against NFC South opponents, and I think that Sean Payton had those circled, but I think that Bo Nix is a quarterback one rest of schedule. I think he is a serious contender for a top 8 quarterback for the season.
He's got pretty good matchups too. You got Vegas, Cleveland, Indy, Chargers, and Cincinnati to finish it out. He does have his bye in week 14, but I think Bo Nix, you can combo him with another player, and this is... You know the two you're going to be riding out rest of the season.
Definitely.
Going to the running back position. Oh, my God. We had Sean Payton for 3 weeks in a row said, estimate. We're going to get him work. And it wasn't till the week after we see him get 14 touches that, like, all right, this is the guy. Javonte, see you later. And, yep, nope, he came back with Javonte this past week. Javonte had 9 carries, 59 yards, 5 targets, caught 4 of them. Whereas you saw estimated barely, I think he had 1 touch in the first half. It wasn't until the end of the first half that he got his first touch. He did get 3 targets, which was interesting because he hasn't seen any of those all season, but caught all 3 of them for 9 yards, 6 carries for 16. I'm willing to go back to Javonte in this one.
Agreed.
Estimate may get some work. He may get a touchdown, but I don't think he's going to get. I just don't want to put him out there. I don't
want to put him out there. I want to roster him. I'm fine with rostering him. I'll even say it's tough this week with so many buys, but I'll say if you can afford to, I think he's a good stash. Just this specific matchup. So Vegas allows the 6th most to running backs. We'll get the easy one out of the way. It's never McLaughlin. That's easy. But I think Javonte, I mean, he bounced back from his worst game of the 1.7 to his second best game of the 16.7. So full 15 points improvement. Estime, all of those reasons, all the coach speak, it's worth a roster. Running backs are just so hard to come by at this point, but we just haven't seen it. But Williams, I'm throwing back out there. I have him as a running back too this week, a pretty high one.
Yeah, on the other side, we've got Madison and Zamir White both dealing with injuries. It's been a back and forth between both of them. As of this recording, we haven't seen Thursday's practice reports, but either one of them played practice Wednesday. If they do miss, it looks like if we get both of them gone, it looks like it'll be a timeshare between Abdullah, the 9-year vet who burned me, almost a decade ago when I took him earlier than I should. And then you got, Dylan Laube, the rookie. Abdullah has been the pass-catching back, 3 targets in each of the last 2 games for them. Before that, 2, 5, 3. So do you want to go with the upside of the rookie? If you need a spot start running back, would you rather go with the unknown of the rookie or the potential floor that Abdullah could give you in the passing game?
I think I'd go Abdullah. I think he has a really good opportunity. Abdullah already has more points in season than Zamir White, who was someone that we can go back and listen to the tape. I was high on him. I made that mistake, hand up. I can admit it. But I think Abdullah, everything I've heard is he's really ready for this opportunity. He seems excited. That's what we're looking for right now is lottery tickets, especially in bi-apocalypse, James Cook, Breece Hall, a lot of studs of Bijan, a lot of really talented running backs. I wouldn't feel great about starting him, but if you have to throw him and if you need a running back too, why not take the chance?
And again, I'm only doing this if Madison and White are both out. If one of them's in, it muddies up the water that much more and you want to move up the rank to one of those guys. But it's a hard matchup against Denver. I try and pivot no matter what.
Yeah, it really is. If you are just in a deep enough league and you're hurting bad enough, I like Madison a lot more than White. I may even have Abdullah over White. Like I said, I know White has missed some time, but Abdullah already has surpassed him in points.
Yeah, and if you looked at the success rate across the team's running backs, Abdullah actually has the best metrics on that. Granted, lesser numbers, lesser amount of attempts he has, but still, he has looked better there. Pass catchers, it's easy on the Denver side. It's Sutton, and I'm out. I know Vele has had a little bit of run, the rookie, but it's not consistent bases. I don't see Knicks throwing 4 touchdowns consistently, so give me Sutton, and I'm moving.
Yeah. I agree with that. Vegas allows the 7th fewest points. I already said it. I'm just echoing you. I can only do that so many times. And this time, I don't even have the stats to back it up.
On the other side, are you interested? I mean, obviously, Bowers, we're starting as a pass catcher.
Bowers, no question. He is one of my top 3 tight ends this week. So excited for him. For wide receivers, Denver allows the fewest points. You don't love that in the first place. Myers is he's between a 4 and a 3 for me. It's just really tough. I don't love the matchup. I don't really like any of the options. I think Brock Bowers, they've kind of learned, is give him the ball. I don't even think. Like I said, wide receiver 4 for me is Myers.
I think so too, because if he does truly get the Patrick Surtain treatment, he's absolutely screwed. Six targets, 11 targets, seven targets, nine, 10, nine in his previous game. So that looks great. Denver does also run man coverage at nearly 30% rate, the highest of any defense that they run. And Myers does have the highest success rate at 19% on the team. It's not great, but it's good enough to kind of give you maybe a little, like, if you need to put somebody out there in a PPR league, I think he might be able to get you just, you know, good enough numbers where you're not disappointed.
I hate that.
Who wins the game?
Oh, my goodness. Six is a lot of points. Denver wins the game, but it's tough to say. Like, Minshew could cover at any time. I might give the Raiders to cover, and I might look like an idiot for it, but I don't know. Denver, to me, wins the kind of games where it's like you win by no matter how much they're dominating, they win by a field goal.
Yeah, I'll take Denver. I think they can cover this one. Raiders, they'll cause some mistakes.
Yeah.
5-5 Niners going to Green Bay. 7-3 Packers have a 47.5 point over under. Green Bay is favored by 2.5. Wow. Niners, the alarms are sounding. You need, Woo-hoo. They can probably lose, what, maybe two more games-ish if they need to make it in. And this is a must-win game for them. They need to set the tone on this one. Bounce back after their loss to Seattle. Packers snuck it by, barely snuck it past the Bears this past week in a 1-point victory. Let's start with the quarterbacks here. I'm a big fan of both of these guys. You've got Purdy, who's given you a rushing floor this year out of nowhere. You know, in the last four games he's had, he has four rushing touchdowns. That's pretty good for a guy. Like 40 yards, 56, 27, 33, 41. Yeah, that's from Brock Purdy. Never would have seen it coming.
That's insane. Oh, no. I mean, so here we go. Starting from the top, Green Bay allows the seventh fewest points to quarterback. Brock Purdy is quarterback 8 on the season, even with the bye. But truly, I think he's matchup proof. His worst games were the first two games of weeks 1 and 2. Since then, he's been absolutely dynamite. Like you said, he has the rushing. Turns out he needed CMC there just to be the lead blocker for Brock Purdy to unlock his rushing ability. So very high quarterback one for me. On the other side, another tough defense for quarterbacks. San Fran is the ninth fewest. But what is Love? It's a tricky matchup, but he's still averaging 18.9 points per game because he's missed some games with his injury. So we do his average. Seventh most across the league. He throws picks, but listen, he gets it done. He produces. He looked good against Chicago last week. So also a quarterback one. I guess my question would be, like, if you are, you know, the richest man in the quarterback land and you're choosing between Purdy or Love, where do you have him ranked?
I do have Purdy just a little bit above Love, and I think it is because of that rushing floor. We have seen a little bit there. Yeah. But otherwise, I've got both these. I do have Jordan Love as a quarterback 13 on the week, but I have both of them as QB1 plays, essentially.
Yeah, same. I would have him. I would probably even have him as a little bit higher than that, like maybe 11-10 for Love. But I agree that Purdy's higher.
CMC, Josh Jacobs, it doesn't get much easier than this when it comes to running backs. Show me a team that you get to sit one of these guys. Come on, let me see.
Absolutely insane. Yeah, CMC, there's nothing else to say. Josh Jacobs, running back 14. That kind of snuck up on me. I didn't realize he was ranked so high. He had 21 points last week. We know that Green Bay always shows up against the Bears, so I have him as a very high running back too. He's usually very consistent. So you love both these guys.
When it comes to the wide receiver, Green Bay's a little stingy when it comes to the wide receiver position, only allowing the 10th fewest 24 points to the entire position per game. On the other side, you have the 49ers. They give up a little bit, too. You like to think you can score on them. It's the 14th most, 26 points a game.
Okay, 14.
Yeah. For the Niners, I like Juwan Jennings. I think I like him as my favorite wide receiver rest of season for the Niners.
I agree.
Debo has been hurting people. He has just been going out there. He is wide receiver 62, 25, 38. He's given us two top 12 finishes. Not since week 6 though, when he was wide receiver 6. I guess you're playing him. It's hard to sit the guy, right?
I will say, granted, this is in the Grand Theft Auto League, one of the ones that we have. But I am sitting Debo. Like, luckily, I have a luxury of riches of wide receiver. But I am.
Where'd you get him from? Where'd you get him from in that league? Who'd you steal him from?
Oh my god, I could have had Brian Robinson.
Oh man, and you stole Debo from me. I was heartbroken at the time because Ayuk had just gotten knocked out. And
we could, listen, we could trade him for being Brian Robinson right now. No, Hezzy, hey.
Yeah, you see me after the pod. We'll get that figured out. No, but god. Debo. Wait. Yeah, go for it.
Debo's a bomb. Yeah, I'll say. Okay, so starting at the top, you already mentioned the 10th fewest. I want to start with Ricky. I know I said the top. We're starting with Ricky. So Ricky.
Ricky,
you so fine. You blow my mind. Except when you drop an absolute goose egg. He got 0 points last week. Absolutely heartbreaking. You know, he had the touchdown the week before, and I think that's going to kind of be who he is. He's going to be like, I hate to say it, but he's a Rashard Bateman. He's a Jameson Williams. He's going to be a boom bust guy.
He is the fifth target on this team. You've got Debo, Jennings, Kittle, CMC. He's talented. He's uber talented. Next year could be interesting.
Go for him.
Yeah. It's bad. That's not bad. I still think he's a guy worth rostering in deep enough leagues. But how often are you going to feel confident at this point in the season putting him out there as a starter?
Yeah, agreed. So that's Ricky. There's not too much to say. I do agree that I have Juwan higher. No question there. I would start Juwan over Debo. Let's say you have, I don't know, for whatever reason, your team is like Chase, Debo, and Juwan. Like, Debo's hitting, riding the pine.
Yeah.
He has a ton of upside, Debo, but his floor is just, there is no floor. So, Juwan, Debo, Ricky is my, and Ricky is just a pure swing for the fences play at this point.
On the other side, we've got Reed, Watson, Dobbs, Wicks.
Another mess.
The people want to know, what are we doing here?
Okay. This again. That's my notes for this room, is it's this again. So over the last 4 weeks, Watson's performed the best. He was wide receiver 39. Reed's right there behind him, 40. Dobbs plummeted all the way to 78. He's done worse and worse over the last 4 weeks. Watson mostly carried by 17 points last week. And Wicks, I just have to say, like, I'm over Wicks entirely. I know he was the hot ticket earlier in the season. I'm over Wicks entirely. So I still like Reed the most. I think they're all could be anytime pops, right? Like, if this is just such, like, you're gambling. There's no other way to say it. Like, this is a scratch ticket, and you're hoping you get three cherries in a row. I like Reed the most. I think he has the most upside. I think he is the preferred target of this offense. But any given day, it could be anyone's day.
Yeah, it's probably. I really don't think my priority in these guys has wavered too much all season. It's been Reed, Watson, Dobbs, Wicks. Like, that's where it goes. You know, Watson and Wicks are about the same. Dobbs and Reed are about the same. And then you just have Reed and Watson are the two starters. I will drop this little bit. The Niners play cover three at nearly a 30% rate. Dobbs and Watson are the two highest on the team at a 22% success rate. You slide over to man, which they run 24%, the second highest defense that they run. Mm-hmm. Wicks is at a 42% success rate against man coverage.
I'm out on Wicks.
Will he catch it? That's the real true mystery. But he is far and beyond like their best against man coverage. But again, they run the cover three just a little bit more, and Dobbs and Watson are those. So I'm okay putting Watson back out there if you think this could be a nice high scoring affair. We do have the little rivalry between these coaches. You know, they're pretty good friends, LaFleur and Shanahan, coming off the same tree. It's usually a good battle. The playoff battle definitely came down to the end. So I'm okay playing Reed, and then Watson, you need some points, toss him out there.
For whatever reason, I have Dobbs higher than Watson, despite the fact that, like I said, in the last 4 weeks, Dobbs is literally double, 78 to 39 is their ranking.
I think it's a floor play for Dobbs, the ceiling for Watson is how you have to treat it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kittle, you're playing. He says you should be back this week from the hamstring. So if he's out there, I'm playing him. Tucker Kraft, though. The fall from glory. What's happening to my boy? This past week, one target, zero catches. Chicago, it's hard to throw on them. I will throw out. Like, Watson was the only receiver or tight end that caught a pass or had more than two catches, I think it was. So, funky day. I think I'm willing to put him back out there if you are in a pinch. But there's five touchdowns in 5 weeks. It's been a while since we've seen that work.
It's been too long. I'm looking elsewhere. Like, there's this handy article that I follow on football.pitcherlist.com. And Look, I don't know if this guy's on the article, but Jonnu Smith is someone I like over Kraft. I hope he is. There's just other options. Just like I said, this is already way too many mouths to feed. Like you talked about, where it's like Ricky Pearsall. It's just like when you're the fifth option on a team, and I'm not saying Tucker Kraft is, but he could be any given week. If his time has passed, I'm all over him.
I will say Jonnu's a pivot for me this week.
Yeah.
I like his involvement, but for some reason this week I was going through it. I don't have my numbers in front of me, but Jonnu came up to be a pivot for me. So I like Hunter Henry, ooh, Sam Laporta, just a little bit better than him.
Okay.
Who do you like winning this game?
I think Green Bay wins and covers. I think this is the beginning of the end for San Fran. Like I said, I've been there as an Eagles fan. This is what happens when you lose to the Chiefs. Like, you just, like, you get down bad.
This is the second show where I've asked that question. The exact same response I get. Like, I want this to be the beginning of the end, the downfall of the like.
And what was last week?
Do the Niners make the playoffs? Do you think they make the – right now they're in a three-way tie with the Seahawks and Rams at 5-5. Cardinals are leading the division at 6-4.
And they're in last place in that division because they've been losing.
They lost the Seahawks. Yeah, they have the worst division record. Yeah. Do the Niners make the playoffs?
Okay, just really quick. If we're – this is going to be great radio, but we're going to look at the NFC playoff picture right now. Thank you, NFL.com, for having that up quickly. It's loading. It's not quickly. Okay. So, Lions, yes. Eagles, Falcons, because someone has to win the South. I like the Vikings over them. I like the Packers over them. I like the Commanders over them. And then it's like, can they win their division?
You're out at that point. Yeah. Like, they have to win the division at this point.
You have to win the division. And I don't know if they can.
They're not catching the Commanders. Packers, if they can beat the Packers here and the Packers drop a couple more, maybe. But I don't think they're getting a wild card spot. So, yeah, they need the division, and they have the worst in-division record. Niners might be coming up short.
There's still time. According to this, their playoff probability is higher than the Seahawks. That's kind of interesting, despite Seahawks beating them. But, yeah, it's really it's like the on-the-bubble teams, 8, 9, and 10 is Rams, Seahawks, 49ers. It's crazy to say. I don't know if the Cardinals are going to win that division because it's such a close division. But, like, the Rams, the reason why they lost those games is because you were without Cooper and Puka for how many games? For 4-6 games? Rams could come back and win this division. So I just don't know. I think that it's a tough year in the NFC. And yeah. I don't know if the 49ers can make it.
Yeah, it comes down to, can these other three teams hold out long enough on the Niners, or do the Niners just slip it in there at the end because, those teams weren't for real. Going to our Sunday night game, or wait, not Sunday night game. Did you pick a winner? Yeah,
yes.
Packers.
I picked the Packers because it's like, what, San Fran losing a game? And it's like, guess what happened last week? Seattle beat them.
Speaking of Seattle, they got the
Seattle
six
earlier in the season without CMC. CMC comes back and
He doesn't have a touchdown yet.
Oh my gosh.
I'm 6-4 Cardinals taking on the 5-5 Seahawks in Seattle. 47.5 point over under. Seattle's favored by 1 in this game. I'm playing Kyler. Are we playing Geno though?
Okay, yeah. So Kyler, quarterback. Fun fact about Kyler is he's quarterback 9 in both points per game and, like, overall season. So that's just fun. So you're always
consistent.
Consistent. Geno. Personally, Geno is the pivot guy for me. In a lot of leagues I'm in, a lot of the names that we like, Bo Nix, like, I would have Bo Nix over Geno. Bo Nix is gone. Some other names I guess we could throw out there, like a this or that. But
you playing Tua or Geno?
I would play Geno over Tua. That was like an option I had.
Patrick Mahomes or Geno?
Oh, we talked about it in yesterday's show, but Patrick
Mahomes gets Carolina.
I know. Patrick, I think, has a really good opportunity for, like, an FU game, but I might still pick Geno.
All right, last one. Anthony Richardson or Geno?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to hate myself, but I pick Geno. I would pick Geno over Tony Rich.
I think I'm picking Geno, too. I've got him 5 spots higher than him. I got Geno at 11 this week.
I like Geno. Yeah, I'm just rambling more about it, but there's so many quarterbacks on bye. Like I said, in the leagues I'm in, Geno's readily available, and like some of these other names we like aren't. Like Geno just kind of like snuck in there. I don't know how, but like I have Geno over Sam Darnold. Like I really like Geno this week. I think it's a great spot for him.
We have for the running backs, James Conner still hasn't missed his game. We all keep waiting for it. Not that we're hoping. It's just history. Continues to dominate though. You know, he's running back 16 on the year, finished with RB3 finish before he went into the bye week. I'm excited for him. Trey Benson, yeah. I do even think is a flex worthy play here.
Yep. I like Trey Benson as a play. And then just speaking of history. So since James Conner has been a Cardinal, he's played the Seahawks 4 times. This is NFL Fantasy Football Twitter tweeted this out, so credit to them. So 4 games versus Seattle. He averages 77 rushing yards, 38 receiving yards, 5 catches, and a touchdown.
So we're playing Conner is what we're hearing.
So we're playing Conner. I'm facing him in my trap game. We've talked about my trap game situation in yesterday's show. I'm going against the 1-10 team, and I need to win out to have a chance at the playoffs. He's facing, like, I'm against Conner in that league. So even more reason why he'll have 20 points this week.
Right. It was funny. I was looking up a stat. Arizona is like top 5 in yards before contact for running backs. Whereas Kenneth Walker and the Seahawks are bottom 5 in yards before contact. But you're still playing Kenneth Walker. Like, the line may not be doing him a whole lot of favors. He's been good. You know, RB 15, 19, 41, 9, 13 going back his last 5 games. His usage is just – it's second to none. So if this game, it's a divisional battle, it should be a nice grinding game. I really like him in this one as well.
I love Kenneth Walker. Like, we're going to use his points per game just because he missed weeks 2 and 3 as well as having his bye already. He averages 16 points per game. That's better than Bijan, Kyren Williams, James Cook, Breece Hall, Achan, Jonathan Taylor. Like, it's a names. He's 6 in points per game. So I love Kenneth Walker. Super huge fan of Pete Carroll running backs. I know he's not there anymore, but the ghost of Pete Carroll lives in that building. And as long as it does, I mean, running backs will feast.
When it comes to the wide receivers, you've got your studs on both sides. You've got Marvin Harrison. You've got DK Metcalf. I don't know. I mean, we learned our lesson when you bench Marvin Harrison Jr. He goes off in those games. So I think I'm playing both these guys with ease.
Yeah, I do have Marvin Harrison. Actually, to be honest, I have both of them kind of as risky wide receiver twos. Marvin Harrison's wide receiver 20 on the season, including a bye and 2 games where he didn't hit a single point. He finished with 0 and then 0.9, I think, in the other. Averages 10 points a game. Yeah, he could win you the week or he could lose you the week. So I think he's better than most options you have, but so you start him.
The real question, of course, comes down to Jackson Smith and Jigba. This is the wide receiver 12 on the season, despite only having 3 games in the top 12. And then his fourth highest game where he finished was? Yeah, wide receiver 41. Was his next highest game. So outside of those 3 top 12 games, we've kind of talked about it the last couple of weeks. Wide receivers are broken this year. The scoring is absolutely down. It's atrocious how we're seeing this. Back-to-back great games. DK was back this past week, 11 targets, 10 catches. He's still not getting deep targets down the field, but are you going back to JSN in this game?
Brian, I have JSN ranked higher than DK.
Oh, that's criminal. Wait, I've got DK at top 10. So you have JSN in your top 10?
I don't have DK in the top 10. I don't know if it's, listen, maybe last week he had the lingering injury, but it was post-bye, right? Like, that was the big thing. Like, I feel like post-bye is really when the colors get shown because you have the bye week to plan everything out. So maybe this is silly thinking, but the fact that JSN had more targets after the bye, 11 to DK's 9, Lockett had 3. We're not starting Lockett, but I think he's officially overtaken him. And like you said, even though you did a really good breakdown about how his like fourth best finish was wide receiver 41, but my caveman brain looks and says, Mario, this is wide receiver 12 on the season. Like, he's one of the 12 guys who has more points than Chris Godwin. And we know what Chris Godwin's capable of.
Yeah, I know him all too well. It's been I've had him on my main league, and it's been just absolutely, I want to pull my hair out. I haven't played him for a single good game this year.
Well, please don't play him this week, because I am forced to play him this week. So, which means he'll probably bust, but I have him ranked higher than DK, I believe.
Yeah, I've got him as a lower-end wide receiver three for me this week. But again, I'm hurt personally, folks, so there might be a teensy bit of bias there. A
little bit of scorn. Either of these guys could easily be a two-touchdown guy. Either DK could very easily just have a DK like monster game. He has 100 yards, two touchdowns, but I just can't do it. I can't do it.
I will say the Cardinals run a cover three at 36% rate, their highest, and DK only has an 8% success rate against that. Tyler Lockett's got the highest.
Top 10?
He's so talented. He's just angry. He's a big fella. As long as he can get past Buda Baker, we're all right. When it comes to tight end, though, you're looking at Trey McBride, and that's it. Trey McBride's probably maybe not quite the best pass catcher on the team, but maybe. He hasn't scored touchdowns, not on his own, but he'll pick him up. Who wins this game? Who takes the division? Because this is for the division, like as of now.
I think Seattle. I'll give it to Seattle, the home team.
Cardinals are on a 4-game win streak. They're on a hot streak right now, so it's hard to go 5 in a row, but I think I'm going to go Cardinals. I'm going to go Cardinals. I don't think the Seahawks are real. I don't think the Cardinals are either, but I think they're more fake than the Cardinals. No, none of them. I think the NFC West, we're back to
going. I think the Rams might be the most legit team in this division.
It's weird. Every time I put a team as the top team, I shuffle the whole thing up because I have no idea. But give me the Cards. All right, folks. Go ahead and just sit back, relax, because Mario is going to give you all the juicy deets on this one, I'm sure, because his 8-2 Eagles are flying into L.A. to take on the 5-5 Rams. A 49-point over-under. Philly is favored by 3. We've seen this line move already from a 50.5 to 49, so just a point and a half, but it's moving down. It makes me feel a little bit more, feel better about this because the Eagles, it's a rough defense. Rough.
It is a rough defense. We're going to start with the studs. Hurts, easy start. Saquon, easy start. Kyren, start. I won't give him the full-blown easy start, but like just – and I know I'm skipping around quarterbacks. That's okay. Bear with us, folks.
We can skip Stafford. I don't want to play him this week against Philly.
I have some notes on Stafford, but I don't think we want to play him. Look at Stafford. Okay, back to Kyren. Philly allows the 5th fewest points to running back. And Kyren. Kyren's a stud. I've been a huge Kyren fan all season. But he hasn't cracked double digits in either of his last two games. So kind of brutal. Tough defense, tough matchup. You have to start him. Like if you have him on your team, like you can't have two running backs better than him. So you start him, but I wouldn't be shocked if he has a third game in a row in single digits. And you're not panicking. You're probably not trading because we're past the trade deadline in most leagues. But
it's been 4 weeks since he scored a rushing touchdown. The Rams have scored 10 passing touchdowns and 0 rushing. We're due for a Kyren regression here. I think he gets double digits in a painful way, but it's because he gets that touchdown. It's been too long. He has to get it. It's just ridiculous. Yes, Hurts, Barkley, Kyren, for sure I'm starting. You pick up Stafford, though. I don't have a whole lot to say on the guy because I don't want to play him. I don't want to play him.
I don't need. So one reason why I needed to talk about Stafford is I already mentioned the Eagles allow the 5th fewest points to running back. They allow the 5th fewest points to quarterback. So that was my main point. But to just give more flowers to Stafford, he's 25-plus in 2 of his last 4 games. You love that. This is a really tough matchup, though. So I think he's fine in super flex, but in single quarterback, like we said, like I have Geno much, much higher. Geno seems to be available in so many leagues.
I was going to say, who did Stafford play in the last 2 games? New England, Miami? Come on.
Listen, I'm just saying.
When it comes to the wide receivers, it gets pretty easy here at the top. A.J. Brown, I think he's going to absolutely annihilate the Rams. If you can beat the Rams, it's been through the air. They run cover 3 at 35% rate, one of the highest. A.J. Brown has a 20% success rate. Devonta Smith has a 19% success rate against it, so it looks like both of them should, but A.J. Brown also dominates in man, which they run at a 20% rate. He has a 34% success rate, and then their next highest is cover 6, which he also dominates at a 25% rate. So A.J. Brown just feels like as safe as it can get. As I say this, I'm going to be scraping the egg off my face come Monday morning, I bet. But yeah, AJ Brown feels good, and Devonta Smith, I'm still going back at it. There's not many options that I have to pivot from.
Yeah, so a couple things. So Rams allowed the eighth most. You talk about it, like that's how you beat them. And here's something that if you probably told this stat to Devonta Smith managers before the season started, you'd be ecstatic. But AJ Brown and Smith are right next to each other in season standings. But that's because AJ Brown is wide receiver 28 and Smith is 29. So it's like, I would have thought, you know, you remove the 20, it's like 8 and 9. But, and that's because Brown has missed three games. Smith has missed one. The difference is about 3 points in points per game. Brown is a stud, easy wide receiver one through the roof. Smith, just talking a little bit more about, he can be an absolute ghost out there for you. Like even in games where the Eagles have dominated, he's been gone. In games that they've been kept it close, he's been gone. For the most part, he's valuable. I have him normally high on the Higgins scale, you know, like where we rank the wide receiver twos. This week, I have him kind of lower. I mean, it's a very high variance. I think there's safer options. Like, I wouldn't hate a Ladd McConkey over him. Like, that kind of
play. Yeah, I like Ladd over him for sure.
But, like you said, you're probably starting him, but I would just be ready to know that he could get you 3 points or less.
Yeah, on the other side, you've got Puka, you've got Kupp. They draw one of the hardest matchups this week. Just the Eagles, they've turned it around. They drafted well with those two rookies. Their DC they brought in this year, he's really turned it around. I'm still playing Kupp and Nacua. There's no way I'm pivoting off of them. DeMarcus Robinson, I do want to...
Yeah?
We talk about the hard matchup here.
Oh, that's, gosh.
They're going up against the Eagles. But if you're focused on the two studs, DeMarcus Robinson might be a guy that you can... I mean, again, breaking out the coverage numbers here. They play cover three at 30% rate. Kupp's the guy. Kupp dominates at 18%. But the next two, they play man and then cover four at a 22 and 18% rate. It's far and beyond DeMarcus Robinson. That is where he dominates. He dominates at nearly a 36% rate against man. So if the Eagles drop into man at all, it seems like DeMarcus Robinson, maybe if anything, it's just the longest touchdown or not longest reception, like over 18 yards or whatever it's going to be. I don't know. I just tossing it out there. We're playing with some numbers, seeing where these correlate to, if we can get anything, some actual tangible results from these.
I don't like what the bye weeks are doing to you, Brian. They're having you talking about Wandale Robinson, like what is going on here?
Yeah, I'm going to borrow soap after this episode, just right in the mouth. Just sit there and think about what I did.
Please. Just here's my fun stats. There's not too much to be said about those guys. I think you start them both, but I am lowering expectations for the duo. Eagles allow the fourth fewest points to wide receiver, tied with Tennessee. So arguably, you could say that they allow the fifth most points in a way. So fifth, fives across the board.
And then tight end. I don't have anything to say about tight ends here. I mean, I don't know if you want to reference one.
Oh, my goodness. You're going to make me pull up stats. I normally leave the tight ends to you, but I have to protect against this slander. We're looking at average points.
Goddard.
Average points per game. Dallas Goedert is tight end number 8 because Kate Otten and Travis Kelce are tied. He averages 8.6 points a game. We're using average because he, of course, missed 3 games and he got hurt in a fourth. So 8.6 points per game. If we're talking total, it's pretty low because he missed points. He's 20 because he missed a lot of games.
Yeah,
we're talking averages. I like averages. You know, you like averages. Let's go down. Oh, I got to scroll all the way down to tight end 11 for this Kyle Pitts fellow who only averages 7.7 points per game.
I mean, I will say though, in Dallas Goedert, two of his 3 games that he did well performed, you know, top 10 numbers. AJ Brown was gone for 2 of those 3. And the other one, he finished with 9 points and he scored a touchdown. So without the touchdown, you're looking at, you know, just the measly 3.5. 5 catches this past week, 61 yards. That's not bad. That's not great though. I don't know. There's no inspiration to play Goddard, especially when you have, you know, Devonta Smith and AJ Brown on the field.
He was tight end 10 last week. Yeah. He's coming in hot.
Oh, I had him at tight end 11 on my scoring, but you know.
He's tied for 10, so arguably 11.
Okay.
Depending on where you have Luke Schoonmaker. But they both had 8.6.
All right, who wins this game?
Unbelievable guy, slander. I'm gonna have to come prepared. Normally, like I said, I go light on the tight ends because I have the tight end guru beside me. But who wins this game? Ah, three is a lot. I think Eagles can do it. They're rolling, and it's not an NFC South. For whatever reason, they stink against the South. Both of their losses, Falcons and Bucks, and then they almost lost to the Saints. And we play the Panthers soon.
Yikes, I can't wait for that upset. I can see Sirianni dropping to the Panthers.
Oh my God.
Yeah, give me the Eagles. I think they take care of business pretty well in this game.
Yeah, go Birds.
Last game we have. Oh man, what a Monday night in front of us, folks. It's the 7-4 Ravens taking on the 7-3 Chargers. Harbaugh Bowl number two. I didn't fact check it. I know they played in the Super Bowl. I don't know if they played since then, but this is again the meeting of the brother head coaches. 51-point over under, highest on the week. Baltimore is favored by 2.5 points. It has moved from 3 because, you know, they like to. Honestly, the Ravens and the Chargers, they both have a streak of dropping it in the fourth quarter. So this will be really interesting. They're just going to try and give the games to each other, maybe up until the clock strikes zero. But starting off with the quarterbacks here, it doesn't get better as far as I want to start both these fellas. Lamar on the bounce back. Herbert's been slinging the rock. Going back 297 yards last week, 282, 279, 349, 237. Only one game below 237 and since the bye week. That's greatness for a guy that like is on a team that runs the ball a lot.
That is absolutely insane for a guy who runs the ball a lot. Yeah, this one, I mean, it is just studs on studs on studs this entire matchup. We can start at the top, as we always do, QB list. Lamar, I mean, did a fun, I mean, by his standards, he had a bad game last week. He finished with 15.9. That still would be a great day for a lot of players. So you love Lamar. The Chargers allowed the second fewest points to running back. You're still starting Derrick Henry. That's a clown question, bro. And then on the other side, Baltimore allows the third most points to quarterback. And so if these numbers, the Chargers had a week 5 bye. So a lot of the numbers I'm looking at for the Chargers are week 6 to now. So since week 6, Herbert is quarterback 7. Amazing, right? Like, I think he's one of those success stories. I don't think he's available on waivers, but I would absolutely scoop him and play him. And running back, Baltimore allows the 8th fewest, so a little bit tough there. But in the same vein as his quarterback since the bye, J.K. Dobbins, running back 7. Not to mention the revenge game factor, him and Greg Roman.
Yeah, I mean, he has, what, 6 touchdowns in 6 games, J.K. Dobbins does. So he gives you a pretty good floor, despite, you know, running back 31 and 29 finishes in that 6th time. Outside of that, it's been running back 8, 6, 15, and 20. Yeah, those are great. Like you said, overall, would you say 13 since that time, something like that?
Running back 7.
7. Oh, my God. I don't know if it's purple 13.
That's same as the quarterback.
Slandering Dobbins over there. What am I doing? Top 7 guy. Yeah. The question rolls down. I mean, I feel like both these teams, it's been pretty consistent. Quarterback, running back for the most, you know, no matter what. The wide receiver gets a little screwy. Chargers, it's been a little bit clearer of lately. Ladd McConkey and QJ are both just cruising. On the season, Ladd McConkey is wide receiver 16. QJ at, he's 40. But if you go back just the last few weeks, he's had a touchdown in 3 straight games. He has.
Yeah, speaking of QJ. And his touchdowns, I'm happy you mentioned it. He has 6 receiving touchdowns. Among wide receivers, Ja'Marr Chase and Amon-Ra St. Brown have more receiving touchdowns than him.
Well, what's the rest of the list? Where are the other guys?
Those are the guys, Brian.
No, you're telling me Mr. First Round Bust, the guy who can't catch a ball, is 3rd in touchdowns
this
year.
A dozen people, but that's not the point. Not a dozen. He's tied with, I think, 3 people. Mike Evans, among others. But he still is just behind those 2 first-round talents. So, like I said, I really am excited about QJ. Ladd gets the volume. Like, if you look at their targets, it's Ladd by a country mile. And we saw on that last drive against the Bengals last week where, like, when they needed a catch, they went to Ladd. So Ladd is the guy they trust. But when it comes to the end zone, I don't care how I get my points, and I like them 6 at a time. That's where Quentin Johnson's getting them.
On the other side, before we bring up names, I just want to throw out, so the Chargers, they play cover four at the second highest rate. They play cover four. Bateman and Zay are right there at 16% success rate. So, all right, it makes you feel pretty good. They play cover three at the highest rate, though. Nearly 30% of the time, the Chargers do. Can I tell you who is far and away the best as far as success rate against cover three? Would you believe me if I told you it is Deontay Johnson?
I knew it was going to be Deontay Johnson. It's never Deontay Johnson. You never start Deontay Johnson. He is a trap. He's a distraction.
So I'm playing Zay Flowers here. Bateman. Oh, my goodness. I don't know if I can put Bateman out there. Like, I almost want to play Deontay Johnson over Bateman. How crazy is that? Yeah, I'm going to take some crazy pills later because clearly I'm hurting. Last 3 weeks, he's at 18.8% of snaps. It's not good. Four targets. He doesn't, but like he should. Did they just trade for him so that the Chargers couldn't trade for him, so that the Chiefs couldn't trade for him? So like, it seems like that's what they did. They said, hey, I'm just going to make
sure. Fantasy.
Hey, I play keep away. I picked up a tight end to make sure that my opponent couldn't this week. It's not bad, but give us a heads up, man. This guy was crushing 10, 6, 13, 14 targets over that month span. It was great.
Yeah, because he was the only guy. That's the biggest difference is when you go from a situation where it's you and nobody else to a fully stacked room. Listen, I also think that as we get closer to the playoffs, they're going to ease him in. But I also wouldn't be surprised if it's just like, if you're the Ravens and you're competing for the one seed, like you want to have a secret weapon. You want to have a guy they don't have no film on. So,
and last year they got hurt. I think it was a Bateman or Aguilar. One of those guys got hurt going into the playoff. Maybe it was Bateman, Flowers. Regardless, they were thin at wide receiver. So, they just need depth. So I don't think it's a bad thing. And then the tight ends for this team, or I guess, are you playing Bateman or is it just Flowers for you as far as the wide receiver?
Yeah, so Flowers for sure. Wide receiver 8 on the season. Like, who saw that coming? So definitely him. Bateman. I like Bateman over Jameson Williams. Like, every week I kind of compare the two because they're both just boom-bust guys, except Bateman has a 2-time MVP throwing to him. So if you need a kind of boom-bust player, if that tickles your fancy, I like Bateman. But otherwise, he's like a wide receiver 3 for me.
Yeah, that's the matchup looks decent, but like I might go Christian Watson over Bateman. But again, there's love there for Watson, folks. Andrews, Disley, I'm okay playing both of them. I'll play both of them over Goddard. Give them to me.
That's crazy. Again, we're going back to the points per game chart. Close that tab. We're going back to the points per game chart. Dallas Goedert, tight end 8. Mark Andrews, 12. I don't even know the other guy.
Disley? Well, he's just now coming on. He's filling in for Hurts. 6. He caught that touchdown for me last week, you know.
Tight end 22.
But his targets since the bye, 6, 6, 3, 7, 11, 5. I like that.
Since the bye, what was their bye? Week 5 or week 6? I already lost.
Week 5.
Yeah. Week 5. So since week 6, points total. Mark Andrews has 4, so he leads the bunch. Great radio. Where's the Eagles?
Oh, look, I'll let you know. Will Disley's down there. He has tight end 21, 36, 25, and 23 finish. Those are not good, but the shootout, the game script, I don't mind it. There's worse things you can do out there.
Oh, I just want to say that. So since that's a tough time frame for my boy Dallas Goedert, because he got hurt in week 6 and then missed 7, 8, 9, 10. So talking just points per game, they're talking total, he's got 18 points. That stinks. But those are in just 2 games. Those are just in 2 games then.
Who do you have winning this one?
Oh, my goodness. I think Harbaugh wins. We can say that confidently.
I'd love to see a tie. I'd love to see you wrong and just see a tie on this one.
I would love that. I think the Chargers win this game.
I think I'm going Ravens. I believe in my boy John.
I think Chargers cover. I won't say the win.
Jim.
We do spread.
John. Which one's? John's really? In Baltimore.
John Jim. Is in Baltimore. Jim Harbaugh is the Chargers.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Struggling there. Yeah, give me Baltimore. Give me John.
No, it's Jim. It's always Jim.
Well, folks, that's wrapped it up. Week 12 in the books. We got another 7 games continued. Again, if you missed out on the first 6, head on over to yesterday's podcast episode. We'll get you cleaned up there. I mean, we got to go. We got to get out of here. We got to get ready. Our own lineup set. If you are looking for more answers from us, you want to ask those last second questions as we get into Saturday, Sunday. Mario, where are the people finding you?
Me? The people want to find me?
They want to find you. Come on. They want to talk about ETN with you.
ETN will be back after the bye. His bye is this week, guys. So next week versus Houston, he's ready. Yes, you can find me at Twitter, at Mario Adamo Jr. You find me here 3 days a week, as you know, because you're a longtime subscriber. New episodes drop Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. That's the one you're listening to now with my lovely co-host, Brian. You'll also find some great articles at football.pitcherlist.com, as well as you can join our Discord from there. You can find me there. Always blabbering with the folks. It's a great time.
And if you're looking for me, you can find me on Instagram, Reddit, Blue Sky, at Too Much Brian. If you're looking for me on Twitter, it is at Too Much _ Brian. Again, I'm going to be all over here with Mario 3 days a week for you. If you're looking for my video content, Fantasy Football Advice Network on YouTube. And of course, don't miss out on all the articles. Football.pitcherlist.com. We got the Discord, as Mario said. Come hang out with us there. But folks, we got to put it to bed. We got to get out of here. You know, get a little supper for this guy. I know he's hungry over here. He's ready for his Eagles to win.
Woo!
Go Birds. Mario, quick question. Do you like Cheese Whiz on your cheesesteaks?
I'll throw the wrong guy.